Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. The bombing of a theater in a southwestern Iranian city, which took the lives of nearly 430 persons, is evidence as to how far some terrorist groups will go to force their beliefs on others. Other theater fires in recent weeks have been blamed on ultra-conservative Muslim fanatics who demand that all public entertainment be shut down during the holy month of Ramadan. Actually, a wave of puritanical conservatism is taking over in many countries of the Arab world. Some see this as a sort of religious revival, evidenced by various social reforms in such places as Libya and Saudi Arabia, and in the oil-rich Gulf states. For instance, if a person is caught stealing, the penalty is the amputation of the right hand. An unmarried person found committing fornication is given 100 lashes. And if the partner happened to be a married person, the penalty would be that of stoning. 40 lashes are given to Muslims found drinking, selling, or manufacturing alcoholic beverages. Likewise, in India, a goal of total prohibition of alcoholic beverages has been ordered by the government, with the removal of all bars and liquor stores. The Prime Minister of India says prohibition is not a fad. It is an essential part of the fight against poverty and the struggle for peaceful domestic environment. So insistent is he that India become dry, he would be willing to lose his job rather than give up the fight for prohibition. He asserts, "I don't mind if my government goes out of office because of prohibition." Although many Hindus drink, it is against the tradition of their religion. Likewise, the religious laws of the Muslims forbids drinking. When Egypt President Anwar Sadat has banned the drinking of alcoholic beverages in public places except for hotels, clubs, and tourist spots. He has likewise called for the prohibition of commercial advertising of liquor because of the ban that he has imposed. Parade magazine has also noted that the traditional belly dancing may be on its way out of Egypt. A group of 30 conservative members of Egypt's parliament want such dancing banned forever. They say it is sinful. That's a violation of the Quran. Saeed El-Din Sharif, a retired air marshal, is leading the ban, but his proposal has the support of the ruling party in Egypt. In Islam, a woman is allowed to show only her hands and face in public, so it is readily understood why there should be opposition to this form of entertainment. The question remains, how far will the Egyptian government go to counteract Christianity? Leaders of the Synod of Coptic Churches in North America met earlier this year to discuss the problems facing the persecuted Christians in Egypt. It could be that plans are being considered that would force them to convert or face extermination. According to Ray Martin, a proposed law before the Egyptian parliament, which could be signed and proclaimed within an hour, would mean the almost immediate murder of millions of Christians. The proposed law, we're told, prescribes the death penalty for Muslims who convert to Christianity or any other religion. Evidence for prosecution can be obtained by the testimony of two adult Muslim males. For a young person who's a minor, 10 to 15 years of age, who becomes a Christian or accepts any other faith, he is to be whipped 50 times. Fortunately, for the time being, the bill has been shelved. But according to the proposed law of withdrawal from Islam, there would be capital punishment without mercy. Those converted to Christianity or Judaism would be hanged and their property confiscated. His children would be given 30 days to embrace Islam. If not, those over 19 would be hanged, while the younger would face lesser punishments if these laws being considered were to be passed. Egypt's Supreme Court has gone so far as to recently rule that Christians must be considered infidels. They cannot testify against Muslims in court. And in Alexandria, the district attorney ruled that a Muslim who adopts Christianity must be considered dead, and therefore cannot get married. Likewise, in Lebanon, there's been the attacks made upon Christians by the Syrians and a massacre that finds Israeli Premier Begin saying it must be stopped.
The Christian minority in northern Lebanon faces the danger of the massacre. The Syrian army is attacking the Christian minority day in, day out, night in, night out. They face a massacre, annihilation, wiping out. May I call upon you? Help them, for God's sake. What is our era going to be? An era of massacre, repeated massacre. The first human right is to live. The Christian minority in northern Lebanon faces a massacre. Let the Syrians leave Lebanon and let Lebanon be an independent state and live in peace with all countries.
Israeli Premier Begin. Ed Plowman, a reporter for Christianity Today magazine, went to Egypt to report on the situation there. Here is what he found.
Within the Coptic Orthodox Church, there is revival now going on. It's lasted for 5 or 6 years, an evangelical awakening led by a Father Zachariah who has thousands of followers. I was there on a Thursday night in a large auditorium, heard him preach, had a very good translator, and I'd say that his message was one of the outstanding ones, well delivered, that I've ever heard anywhere in my life. There were approximately 4,000 people crammed into the auditorium and to overflow rooms where closed-circuit television helped accommodate the crowds. Everyone told me we're at the beginning of a real awakening. Many, many thousands of young people have come to Christ in the last 4 years there. The lay people are involved in a tremendous way. They go out to the villages in teams to evangelize. At least 200 Muslims have been baptized by one Christian leader alone. There does not seem to be a lot of persecution of the Christians. The people go to school together as children. They work together as employees and so on. There's a discrimination factor, but as far as outright hostile persecution goes, it does not really exist.
Well, Michael Cassidy, an evangelist with African Enterprises who recently held a crusade in Cairo and Alexandria, has this report.
The evangelical churches are all participating, and there seems to be a good and an encouraging movement towards Christian cooperation in the whole thing.
Well, Dan Malachuk, president of Logos International Fellowship, likewise reports there are stirrings of a spiritual awakening taking place in the Arab world today. He cites as an example the conversion of a man who was a close friend of President Sadat, a spiritual leader respected by the world's 540 million Muslims. This man took a trip to Indonesia, where thousands of Muslims are being converted to Christ. While there, he was very much impressed by what he had seen, for Indonesia is witnessing a miraculous intervention of God's grace and power. Returning to Egypt, this man was determined to try to successfully refute the Christian faith, so he made a study of the scriptures. Well, the more he read, the greater was the impact of the message of salvation upon his heart. The Holy Spirit brought to him the seriousness of accepting the claims of Christ, that he's the only Savior who died for our sins. This is in contrast to the Quran, which claims that Islam is the only true religion. Well, this Muslim leader had a daughter who had been partially paralyzed for years. The best Egyptian doctors had given her up, and so the distressed father sent her to England for treatment. There the doctors reported her condition was hopeless. However she lay there in the hospital, two Christian women came to visit her and to pray for her. As they prayed for the girl, feeling surged through her paralyzed body and she was healed. At the same time, the father had been deep in study, thousands of miles away, when the Lord Jesus appeared to him to say, "I have healed your daughter." He was stunned. Minutes later, the phone rang. It was his daughter, calling from England. She had to call her father to tell him of her miraculous healing. With a voice choked with emotion, he could only say, "I know. The one who has healed you was also here with me." The stories of the girl's miraculous healing found their way to Egyptian President Sadat. He also got word of this outstanding Muslim leader's conversion. Greatly disturbed, Sadat called this man to meet with him. The conversion of a Muslim to Christianity could result in a trial, perhaps death. But Sadat realized the trial of this man would only result in unwanted publicity, causing national embarrassment. So he simply ordered the man out of the country. The official report given was that this Muslim leader was suffering insanity and had to be removed from his post. He's now in Europe, where he's on fire for God, witnessing to his conversion to Jesus Christ. Well, today's discussion centered around the revival in Egypt, which seems to be beginning in that land, in the Arab lands. One day it will be said, as we read in Isaiah 19:21, the Lord shall be known in Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. Are you ready for his coming? Are you looking for his appearing? In Hebrews 9:28 we read, to those who look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Our Lord came the first time to seek and to save that which is lost. If you do not trust in him as your Savior, do it now. Then you can look forward to his coming. For when our Lord returns, he will come for his own, those who have accepted him as Savior and Lord. Pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, I do receive you as my Savior and Lord. Come into my heart and life. Forgive me of all my sins. Then help me to live for you till you come. Amen. Will you be ready to go? When the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns. Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.